Hello, everybody. It is a rainy Thursday afternoon, and I hope that everyone's doing well, staying safe, staying encouraged, staying in the Word, staying in prayer. I want to make a couple quick announcements before we jump into our text today. First, I want to let you know that we are praying and talking about how and when the church can reopen together, and we hope to be able to give you some announcements. But we're primarily waiting right now to see what the governor decides on the 28th. And so we're waiting on that, but we are also preparing and taking steps to be ready to get going. And so just know and be praying for us that we have wisdom. We want to be wise. We want to submit to God's word. First Peter tells us that we should submit to every governing authority over us. And so we want to walk in obedience to God's word. And when we get back together, we want to do so in a way that shows love, love for our community, love for each other. No matter where you are, how healthy you are, we want to show love in the way that we gather and in the way we worship. Because God loves us, and the extent of his love for us is the reminder or the litmus test of how we should love one another. And so we should be willing to sacrificially love as he has loved us. So we'll give you announcements, and we'll see what the governor decides. I'd be praying for her. The second thing that I wanted to mention is I'm wearing this Montreal Canadiens shirt, which is a hockey team. I don't know much of anything about hockey, and I get a lot of grief, especially in Michigan, that it's not whatever the Detroit team is called, the Red Wings. There we go. I knew it was red. The Red Wings. And I want you to know I wear this shirt proudly for two reasons. One, because it fits really well. And two, because I got it for less than $3. This sweatshirt, less than $3. I wear it not because I care about the Montreal Canadiens, because I don't. I've never seen them on TV. I don't know what their jerseys look like. Don't care, but I'm very proud of how cheap this sweatshirt was, and it fits really well, and so I wear it. So don't get distracted. I'll root for the Red Wings, but I'm still gonna wear this sweatshirt. So that's just a little nugget into my twisted mind. But I want to jump into something today from the book of James. Now, we're going to be looking in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we talked on Tuesday, we talked together from the book of Habakkuk, and we talked about how even in really hard times, when things are tough and things aren't working the way we would think, and we go through all kinds of situations, that we need to trust in our God. And so we're going to take and kind of piggyback on that from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And so I want to just start, and we're just going to walk through this together. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, the first word, consider, is important. This is to live in light of, or to think in light of. So the idea is not just to kind of imagine, or even just to mentally affirm something, but to live in light of it. Okay, so it's an acceptance of this reality that he's about to talk about. Okay, so if I say that if God tells me, for example, that I don't know, Blue Moon ice cream is the best ice cream that there could ever be, and tells me to consider it so, I would not just have to answer the question. If anyone ever asked me what's the best ice cream, I would need to say Blue Moon. But if I went to an ice cream shop and they asked me, what would you like? I would need to consider God's opinion and then act in light of it and not order butter pecan or order chocolate or order any other flavor, but instead to always order Blue Moon. So the point here is to consider with our thoughts and with our actions what God is telling us. So to live in light of what's being told. So he says, consider it. Now, it here is an important term. What is it? Well, it is told to us in the second half of the verse. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. So the it here is trials or facing trials of many kinds. Now, to face means to live in, to endure, to walk through, to have. So whatever the trial may be, whatever the pain may be, whatever the situation may be, it's to have those, but yet to face them a certain way. And notice that it says of many kinds. The idea is a broad perspective, that whether it be losing a job, whether it be losing a loved one, whether it be getting sick, whether it be mental anxiety, dealing with depression or stress, whether it be any type of trial, including a sliver, all trials, all situations, to that we are to consider it, these trials, to face these trials, we are to consider it pure joy. In other words, we are to rejoice in it. We are to consider it a blessing. Now, that's very difficult when you get to things that get in the way of our plans, because no one wants to be persecuted. No one wants to endure trials. Trials always endure some type of pain. So we don't like this. When I was in college, my first year of college, I was planning on going into the Navy. Then I was diagnosed with diabetes, and so that didn't work out. And so it was kind of a late thing, and I didn't know where to go to school. I hadn't taken my ACT yet, and so I ended up at a community college, and I was playing basketball there, and I was doing fairly well. I was getting some contacts from Division II schools, and I was very excited about potentially what that future might hold. And I broke my wrist, and you know, I wasn't very happy about it. It was getting in the way of my plans. But yet, we're told here that no matter what it is, to consider it, consider these many trials, various trials, that when we face them, we are to consider them pure joy. Consider them a blessing from God. And then he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Now, this is an important note that we shouldn't just skim by. You know, the old adage is, it'll all work out in the end. It'll all be okay. The problem is, that's not true for everyone. It's not. Hell is real, and so is heaven. And heaven is only for those who have confessed Jesus as their Savior. And hell is for all those who have rejected him, who have not believed, who have not trusted in him. It won't work out all in the end for those who do not believe. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice that there's a category there. All things work for the good of those who love him, of those who have been called by his purpose, called according to his purpose. So the point that's being emphasized here is that you can trust that all things are working for your good if you are a child of God, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have done that, then you can have confidence to know that even if you are enduring a trial, it can be understood as a blessing from God, because God is bringing about to work good for you, because he works all things according to the good of those who love him. And for those who don't love him, for those who don't know him, for those who don't follow after Christ and repent of sin, all they're doing is storing up wrath for themselves. They're ensuring that their hell will be more hell than it could have been. This is all that they're doing. And so to make these kind of blanket statements, it'll all work out, it'll be okay, is really wicked and mean to people, to say to people who don't believe. We need to call to people, if you believe, then even this God can use for your good. You can have encouragement and faith and joy even in this, no matter what it may be. The point that James is making is one in which we must, as a believer, that we should enjoy the trials of life and follow after Christ. That we should consider each trial that we face, even if it may be losing our memory, not being able to drive anymore, not being able to go to restaurants, movies, not being able to be with friends. Today's Jill's birthday. Not being able to spend your birthday with family or friends or doing other things. That we are to consider all of these things pure joy. But the question needs to be asked, why? Why? It's not enough just to go to someone and say, hey, it's all joy. I would never do that. I would never walk into a family who just lost a child, or someone who just got a rejection letter from the college of their dreams, or someone who just got diagnosed with cancer. Hey, it's all good. We need to consider the question, why? Why would I consider it pure joy to face trials? Because trials involve pain. Some type, whether it be emotional pain, financial pain, physical pain, they trial implies pain. So why should I consider it pure joy? Because just to tell me to do it makes it really hard. Well, verse 3 helps us with that. He says in verse 2 again, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Here he says, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, we're supposed to get the fact that God has brought these situations into our lives, allowed these situations to happen for a purpose. That's how God works them all out for our good. God is allowing you to go through these things in life for a reason. And he knows and plans the testing of your faith and does so for a purpose. There is no wasted pain in this life for a believer. None. The testing of your faith is to produce in you, it is to create in you and develop in you perseverance. The same term can be translated as endurance or patience. But why? I mean, why is it of value to me to have perseverance? Why is that of worth? I mean, does the value of perseverance really outweigh the pain that is necessary to bring it about? Is it worth it? Well, maybe you have to go back to say, how big is your God? But now we come to verse 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance, verse 4, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is a beautiful point, because perseverance, if it finishes its work, brings us to the point of maturity, of completeness, so that we are not lacking anything we need to rejoice in all circumstances, anything we need to be able to praise God more fully, anything that we need, that we will be mature in our faith, mature followers of Christ. Isn't that what we long for? Isn't it? Or would you rather have a simple life? A life with no discomfort and no trials and no pains, and then be a child in the faith, be immature and incomplete. I know as a parent, I would rather have my child go through difficulties in life if it leads them to maturity and completeness. Because that's what I long for them, because I know that that is best and lasting. It's what we want. I told you that I broke my wrist when I was in college. And you know what? I was really frustrated with that reality, that event. And this text tells us that perseverance must finish its work. And the idea that's being discussed here is the idea of playing into the hand. In other words, there's two ways that I could respond to a trial. I could not consider it a joy. I could not experience it with faith. And I could lose the benefit and not gain perseverance through trials, and have perseverance finish its work so that I am mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's an option. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he makes this point. He says, make in chapter Peter, or sorry, 2 Peter verse, wow. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they grow, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I so desperately don't want to end my life and have the Lord say to me, you are ineffective in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you may have gotten through heaven as one escaping through the flames, as it says in 1 Corinthians. But you are ineffective and unproductive. No, we need to endure our trials. We need to consider them with pure joy, as a gift from God, a blessing from God, so that our faith can be moved, or can bring about our trials, I should say, should bring about perseverance, and perseverance should bring about our maturity. My broken wrist I mentioned to you about. It was an interesting situation. One thing that you should know is that I'm right-handed. And so generally, as a right-handed dominant person, I liked to go right. I shot with my right hand. If I had an option or had the ability to shoot or make a layup or drive with, you know, right or left, I would always choose right. Well, then I broke my wrist and I determined that I didn't want to miss more time than I had to. And so I worked my tail off and participated in practices literally with a hand tied behind my back, because I wanted to use the opportunity to benefit, to grow. I wanted, my goal was now to be just as good with my left hand as I was with my right. The first game that I came back, I was 3 for 5 from three pointers with my left hand, because I still couldn't fully bend my wrist. So I couldn't shoot with my right hand. It opened up a whole new door for me in the game. Now, that's a simplistic illustration, but the point that I want you to get is you have to use your trials faithfully to benefit from them. You must consider them joy. In other words, don't spend your time blaming God and accusing God, but instead submitting to Him, trusting in Him, looking for what He is trying to foster into you. Don't endure a trial and so ignore prayer, ignore the study of the Word. Dive into God in the midst of trials. Declare joy to yourself. Not happiness, but joy. Trusting that you have a good Heavenly Father who's only allowing you to go through this because He intends to work it for your good. Matthew Henry, a great theologian of old, said, "Our trials will brighten our graces now and our crown at last." In other words, our trials are meant by God to bring more joy and more exaltation to the graces of God, the graces that He gives us to endure our trials and to endure them with joy, so that we are a greater light to the world, so that when we shine brightly, so that we may endure all of life with joy as conquerors. Our trials are meant to brighten those graces, the graces that are new every morning, and to brighten our crown at last. In other words, it's storing up treasure in heaven for us to endure our trials with joy. Because it is an expression of our faith in God, and it grows our faith, and it develops in us perseverance, which will finish its work so that we may be mature in the faith, so that we would make sure that we are not ineffective and unproductive in the faith of Christ. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Friends, consider your joys or your trials, and remember that God is bringing these into your life to brighten His other graces to you for your good and your crown that is to come. Friends, trust in Him. Lean into His word. And consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Trust upon the graces that God has already given you. His word, the presence of His Spirit in your heart, your faith, the body of Christ who may encourage and pray for you and support you and lift you up. Cling to His promises and His goodness, so that through your trials, perseverance may be produced. Through the testing of your faith, you may have perseverance and patience, and that over time and God's working may finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Oh, if this were the call and desire of all believers, what a glory to God we could be. I pray that it is yours. I pray for you each. Talk to you on Sunday.